It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for June 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. By now, you know the deal with Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. New operating systems for the watch, computers, and mobile devices. A new music streaming service that, at this point, looks kind of similar to already existing streaming services. While this year's big keynote event didn't have a ton of new news, it did have a change of tone. For instance, while company heads were talking about Apple's assistant Siri, they talked about privacy a lot and how users' data was going to be protected more by Siri than by the other similar softwares like Google Now. What does this tell us about Apple's marketing strategy? William McGovern is an associate professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. Hi, William.
Hi.
It seems like Apple is kind of taking advantage of a situation it's in as being a very different company from Google, more of a hardware company, at least in certain scenarios, and saying that that is good for consumers who want more privacy.
That's right. I mean, some observers might think that they were trying to take some lemons and make lemonade out of it. They're not in this industry sector that Google and Facebook and Twitter are active in, and so they're trying to tell consumers that they don't want that.
Do you think consumers want privacy in a way that would make them consider jumping to Apple or using Apple's devices over Google's devices?
So people have been looking for a long time to find the moment when privacy was going to become a real selling point. You might remember a few years ago, Microsoft was taking jabs at Google in its marketing about privacy. It's not clear to me that people who are not already part of the Apple tribe will move over on this basis alone. But it might be something that sort of helps keep the warm, fuzzy feelings people have about Apple and its corporate culture going, and you know, particularly under the new leadership.
It builds upon loyalties rather than switches them.
Yeah, my guess is that no one who has been an Apple abstainer is going to suddenly start queuing up at the Apple store for the next iPhone because of this privacy message. But I think it's demonstrating that all of these companies understand that they need to present a corporate culture that's respectful of their customers' data.
What is the business end of this distinction between how tech companies deal with users' privacy?
All these companies, whether it be Apple, Facebook, Google, they gather your information. The question is whether they let advertisers target ads on the basis of it. And that's something Apple has never really been very good at, and now they're turning into a virtue, saying that that's one purpose that they don't put your information toward. If that's what you think privacy means, then Apple's much better for you. But I think a lot of people have a broader sense of what privacy really means.
What does it mean?
Well, to some people, whatever big company is gathering your data, that's a privacy issue to them. And Apple is gathering your data, too.
William McGovern is an associate professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. William, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Please, your gift in any amount counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. People in the tech world have been saying the B word in hushed tones. Whether or not Etsy's stock nosedive is more bubble evidence or bubble burst evidence, we can't say yet. What we do know is that the online mom-and-pop marketplace built in Brooklyn has had its share price go down 50% since its hyped IPO in April. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn looks at why Etsy is filling a lot of return orders on its stock.
Gil Luria is an Etsy customer.
Oh, I bought my wife, handmade jewelry. I bought her hand-embroidered artwork. And most recently, I've ordered a lot of counterfeit merchandise.
Not because he's some kind of needlepoint pirate, but because he's also an Etsy analyst with Wedbush Securities, who thinks the company's been slow to crack down on fake Louis Vuitton bags and Chanel earrings.
I actually found it to be 20 times more likely that you'll find a counterfeit item on Etsy than you are on Alibaba and eBay.
And this is Luria's theory for why Etsy's value has been cut in half since it entered the stock market. He says pushing for the growth investors want has meant letting in counterfeit, copyright infringing, and just factory-made goods, watering down its homespun image. an image on display at a craft party under the Manhattan Bridge in Brooklyn.
There's tinsel, there are balloons, there are lots of kids making crafts.
Cindy Peng sells jewelry on Etsy and hopes someday to do it full time.
They're expanding rapidly, and maybe that would be good for us.
At the next table, Tamara Garvey is even more gung-ho.
I love Etsy so much, I wouldn't ever sell on any other marketplace.
But what's next for Etsy depends on there being enough sellers like Peng and Garvey to make up for sellers like Sherry Truitt. She sold handmade cufflinks made out of vintage maps on Etsy for 7 years. But she quit when they started getting crowded out of the search results by factory-made versions.
And now it looks like eBay or Amazon. And some of the companies sell on all three.
Whether Etsy can defend and grow its DIY niche into the future, this is what finance professor Jay Ritter says sets the stock market value, or market cap.
You say, how can you justify that market cap based upon its current operations? And the answer is, you can't.
If that makes this whole stock price question sound speculative, it should. Ritter says the way tech companies are valued on their future profitability is why the prices jump up and down so much, and why the last time a stock price fall like Etsy's was common was the internet bubble of 15 years ago. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And before we go, you know this sound. Combine it with this sound, and what do you get? June. A super smart toaster oven designed by former Apple engineers to recognize whatever food you put into it and cook according to the food's needs. Part of the point of June Intelligent Oven, as this computer oven is called, is to do this all without making a sound. It also has enough computing power to run a modern video game, and it will send information about the food it's making to your phone. I say, with a price tag of about $1,500, that oven better be a dang good chef. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.